Okay, good afternoon, everyone. So this is a problem here, you know. I'm always being given the task to normally conduct the toughest sessions of the day, which is the after lunch. Because it's extremely challenging for me, right, to keep you guys awake. Right? Hopefully that's my challenge today, and I hope that with the next 45 minutes, Bay from Enfrasis is going to sponsor me 15 minutes. So I have 1 hour in order for me to be able to share with you a bit on the overview of Windows Server 2016. As an introduction, my name is Kwan. I'm a geek from Microsoft Malaysia, which literally covers cloud infrastructure for Malaysia. And what I hope that I'll be able to cover today is an overview of Windows Server 2016, okay? And the whole idea here is to be able to provide an overview so that the audience here will be able to understand how Windows Server plays or how Windows Server positions itself as the core or the nexus of a hybrid cloud platform. So during these sessions, I will call out those different capabilities such as software-defined compute, network, storage, security, something you have seen a bit on the keynote. There might be some overlap, but I'll try to make things different. But most importantly, right, I want to make sure that this session has a lot of demos. Because you don't want to get PowerPoint to death, right? So the whole idea here is to be able to give you guys something live, despite the fact that my server got power trip today morning. So let's start. Now, you see, Microsoft has a vision. Microsoft has a story. Now, the story is to provide a unified cloud strategy. A unified cloud strategy which will be able to provide a flexible development platform for you to be able to develop your application, regardless which platform, whether it's a .NET platform or an open source world, right? We want to be able to provide that kind of platform for you to develop your application that matters to your business. But more importantly also to provide a unified management platform, a hybrid cloud, a hybrid management. You have seen OMS today. We should be able to manage the public cloud and your private cloud, right? To provide a common identity. Anyone know what's the answer? Active Directory lah, right? So Active Directory will be the common identity for you to access your applications, your infrastructure, your platform, regardless whether it's on-premise or the public cloud. And of course, to provide an integrated virtualization realm. Why? Now this is a value proposition for Microsoft. We are the single vendor in the entire planet. Wow. That will be able to provide a single integrated technology platform across your on-premise private cloud, to Azure, to even your hoster, being able to be managed by a single management cloud or cloud management platform. If I'm going to put it in a layman term, right, it's like Lord of the Ring, right? One ring to rule them all, right? So we have one platform to literally run your applications, regardless whether it's going to be on-premise or public cloud. Put it this way, despite the hoo-ha about public cloud, we know that the practical way for you to have or to embark on a cloud journey is through a hybrid cloud model. You still have your workloads residing on-premise. That's not going to be taken away, correct? You're going to move some of your workloads or introduce your new workloads in the public cloud. But the experience, how do you interconnect both realms, your public cloud realms to your on-premise cloud realms? This is where Microsoft will be able to help customers like you to realize that journey. Let me just portray this. So you will have your on-premise private cloud. This is powered by Windows Server and managed by System Center, right? You will also have a public cloud environment. Hopefully, we'll run it on Azure, I hope, right? But the whole idea here is, to be able to manage all this realm with System Center 2016 or OMS as a hybrid cloud management tool. My apologies for the contrast here. Okay, but Kwan, I run you on your cloud, right? What can your cloud really do? You know? What can your cloud benefit my business, my applications, my environment? So Microsoft actually creates what we call the value proposition to customers. By running your workloads on our platform, we will firstly help you to transform your data center from a very traditional, silo, physical server you can hard base to a fully software-defined data center. This is the real first value that you want to be able to deliver. But more importantly is, I will also want to be able to enable how you be able to build your applications. For example, if you have a vision or an initiative to embark on the IoT journey, where you install sensors, right, sensors, and pump those telemetry data, we will be able to provide a platform that fetch those data, providing a platform to literally do all those crunching for you, so that you'll be able to provide decision-making recommendations. So, in essence, our platform, my bad, we'll be able to provide a platform that enables you to create your Internet of Things, to pump those data into a repository for us to do data crunching, and also for you to build new age applications. Today, gone are the days where you build applications using the client-server model. We are talking about building applications to microservices world, right? We will provide a platform that is microservices friendly. You will deploy your applications into PaaS, platform as a service model, not IaaS. That's the value of Microsoft, right? And of course, our cloud platform will also empower customers to drive your BYOD story. You will always have this device, right? Your employees or your colleagues will bring this device. How do I secure them? How do I ensure the data that runs, the email that runs with this device is secured from being stolen, from being leaked? We provide a security platform that will be able to enable that kind of capabilities. That's our value. Now, obviously with Windows Server 2016, Microsoft provide what we call a cloud-inspired infrastructure. That's our story. But in essence, right, what we actually do here is, with Windows Server Hyper-V Center 2016 version, it is infused with Azure technology. What do you mean by that? All of you heard about Azure? Microsoft Azure is our public cloud. We have all the wonderful innovations, technologies that we have. We will now productize Azure into Windows Server and System Center. So what does it mean? This means that you will now be able to enjoy all the different capabilities from compute, network, storage, and security from Azure implemented on your premise. That's the value that Microsoft is going to introduce. Now, let's start with compute. Obviously, the new features that's going to be added into the compute are as follows. We will introduce things like containers. I'll share with you what are containers. Containers, you can treat it as an OS virtualization layer. Everyone heard about server virtualization layer, right? So container is another realm of virtualization, which enables organizations to virtualize their OS layer, virtualize the OS kernel to run applications on top. We will support this thing called nano server. Just as a word, nano server is like opposite of me, lean mean machine, right? And of course, we have another layer called nested virtualization. Okay, I'll share with you later. But not to forget, the entire software-defined compute, right, is built to be able to run high workloads, high performance workload. We've seen Pua running SAP HANA on Hyper-V, right? So these are the kind of capabilities, scalabilities, compute power, the juice that we want to inject into our products. But you know what? You notice this? 5 years ago, this is like, doesn't happen. Microsoft loves Linux. We will treat Linux as a first-class citizen in any of our product in terms of a cloud infrastructure as well as cloud management. What this means? This means your Linux servers, Red Hat, SUSE, whichever distros, will be treated, will have all those capabilities as compared to what they run on a Windows server. That's our promise to our customers. Now, let's start bragging rights. Okay? If you can see from us, I purposely put next best competition. Probably I've seen this slide, I'm not too sure. So if you can see from here, 2016, as per comparison to the previous version, we are about 6 to 12 times better, right? We have about 240 virtual CPU per VM, right? About 12 terabyte memory per VM. Our next best competition comes in probably half or three times lesser than us, right? So when people ask, hey, Hyper-V, so we right now runs the most powerful virtual machine in the entire planet, at least officially, lah. Okay? So that's the scale limits that Hyper-V introduces. Okay? Now, but that is compute, that is scalability. What about new features? What about additional features which I like? For example, today you're running a virtual machine. I don't have enough memory. What do I do? You can hot add a memory. You can hot add a storage on the fly without needing to power down your, without needing to restart your VM. Okay? As a matter of fact, my bad. As a matter of fact, even hot add of storage for your cluster is supported. So today, if you have a shared storage, right, running on VHDX, this is a shared storage to power your cluster, right? You can hot add additional space to that storage without bringing down the entire cluster. That is the kind of availability capability that we provide. One thing which I pretty much like about Hyper-V 2016 is this thing called production checkpoints. Today, when you do checkpoints, regardless what hypervisor, when you do a recovery, right, that application might not be able to be used because it is capturing something which is 6 months ago. With production-aware checkpoints, we will be able to be enlightened what's the system state and application state, so that your application state will be consistent when it gets recovered. That is production checkpoints. Okay? Now, nested virtualization. So I will treat it as virtualization, sorry, server virtualization within a server virtualization. Quan, funny, yeah? So let me give you an example. Today, I got a physical Hyper-V host. Okay? What I can do is I can create two virtual machines. I can make one virtual machine to be another Hyper-V host that can run another virtual machine in it. So for those who want to understand a bit more layman term, you all remember the Leonardo DiCaprio movie? Not the one recently that's affected to Malaysian government, lah, huh? Inception, correct, okay? Dream within a dream, correct? So what you can do is you can literally create Hyper-V within a Hyper-V within a Hyper-V. But what was the business case? You know, is it bragging rights? So the business case is simple. It is good for those who want to do lab on Hyper-V, to do testing on Hyper-V. Yeah, for dev and test, but it doesn't power my business, right? What's the business value of doing nested virtualization? It is good for containers. I'll share with you what is containers later. So if I'm able to provide a virtual machine running on nano server, I run containers in the nested environment, what we call Hyper-V containers. Hold on thought. Some people say, what is container, you know? Wait for a while, then I'll share with you. Now, as usual, let's start with the first demo, lah. Okay, obviously this demo is a bit funny in a way. Let me just go down. So, here, let me just bring it up. Here I have a server, physical host, which I have Hyper-V manager, which I created nested 01. So let's see how many layers we can go in or not. Normally burst out at 2, right? Let's see how many layers we can go in. I've tested here. What I do is, I open this guy up, vnested. Let's maximize this. What I've done is, let me just, this is vnested 01. I've created another layer. Let's open up. vnested 02. Okay? I have another layer, which is vnested 03. Let's say vnested 03. I have another layer. Called vnested 04. I start at 4, lah, right? That's what I can do. Now, pros and cons. The more layer of nested, right, what will happen? You'll hit on your IOPS performance, right? So, practically, 2 layers, lah, right? Just for science sake, I'm trying to stretch it. My server literally crawled at about 5 because of IOPS performance. Now, that's literally giving you guys the idea of nested virtualization. Now, let's start with something which is more closer to me, which is networking or software-defined networking, which literally don't quite share with you, right? So, with software-defined networking in 2016, right, we literally bring, again, Azure software-defined networking to on-premise, to Windows Server 2016 and System Center 2016. What we do, we literally bring the entire Azure network controller pane into Windows Server 2016, which means you will be able to implement a software-defined piece altogether, managing the entire network policies, network routing whatsoever within a single network controller, which is running on System Center 2016. Okay? So, what are the capabilities that's available? First and foremost, with network controller, I'll be able to manage your entire network via software-defined within a single pane of glass. I don't need to go to each and every different switch to configure those routing. I will be able to manage everything from a single pane of glass. Now, for a virtual networking, given, bring your own address space. You should be doing that, right? I'm not going to stop you from bringing your own address space into the private cloud. But you know what? Security. We'll give you firewall as a service, load balancer as a service, within that software-defined stack. No need to buy third party, unless you want to lah, right? Now, in terms of gateways, since private cloud can be multi-tenanted, right? We will provide you gateways for multi-tenants, the different tenants to talk to one another. But what if you also want to extend to the public cloud? We will provide default gateways that will be able to connect to Azure Express Route, which is a point-to-point connectivity, right? And stuff like that. So these are the kind of stuff that we can provide in SDN. Very, very mature SDN capability that we see. Now, in short, this is how it's going to be narrated. So I have all my virtual machines. My apologies for the contrast again. What I can do here is I can access my virtual machine manager or my network controller. Let me push a network policy. That, in fact, in turn, will just ingest all the different capabilities from firewall to load balancers to VLANs capabilities. All those is being able to be configured within one network controller, which is software-defined base, right? So that's software-defined networking in a nutshell. It's going to change how your networking will work today, right? So, storage. Any SAN guys here? No SAN sellers, huh? Today, you all buy storage, right? How much you all pay? 6-digit. But when you open a SAN, what you see actually? Hard disk lah. Correct or not? So what we are saying is that, hey, can we actually change how storage works or not? And this is where we come up with what we call a software-defined storage. We will now let you run storage in JBOTs, just a bunch of disks. You just buy commoditized servers, like your 2U servers, stash it just with disk. Okay, stash it with flash and disk, SSD and disk. That itself, stack with 3 copies. Why? Providing you what we call high availability and redundancy. Now, let me give you a narration of that. I will buy 3 commoditized servers. How much is server today? Depending on discount level. I can buy 3 different servers. I stack it with just disk. SATA disk, SAS disk, 15K RPM with SSD. I need 3 minimum. Why I say 3 is because there's a reason. I will then merge it into what we call a storage pool. This is done through Windows Server 2016. Once I merge this, all this disk within that 3 physical servers gets combined logically into what we call a storage pool. Now, this storage pool will then be able to be presented to your servers, file servers, Hyper-V clusters, whatsoever, right? Into what we call volumes, right? Now, let's look into perspective. This is the great thing here. Every file that you store within that storage will have 3 copies automatically, thus provide you data resiliency. This is something that we actually implement in Azure, which we brought down into our storage space direct, right? What it does is, if I have a file, I have a virtual machine disk, physically that file will get copied into 3 different disks within that storage pool. Why? If I got 3, what happened? 1 dies, right? Virtual machine will point to the second file. What's the use of the third file? Point another 1 copy, law, because you always have 3 copies, mark, right? So what happens is, if any disk got failed, we will provide you that kind of resiliency. So Quan, how much resiliency or failure nodes that you can tolerate? We can tolerate up to node layer. Today, if your SAN enclosure goes down, what happened? Koya. Oh, no. You buy 1 more SAN enclosure lah. Correct or not? What we do here is, we will not only raid your disk, we'll raid your enclosure. If you want to do more, we can even raid your rack per se. But of course, if you have that much of capacity of storage that you need to introduce your organization. Now, that's simple. So what we're saying is that we will provide you cheap storage, fault tolerance, okay, and IOPS, performance of a SAN-based light. As of July, I was privileged to be able to communicate with the engineering team. The IOPS for this can go up to 5.7 million IOPS. In Ignite, in September, it was announced to 6.6 million. It is easily four times better than our closest competitor. I don't want to name names, four times. Who other the software-defined storage? Okay? So, Kwan, what if I touch a code? I want to add more storage space. I want to add more disk. I want to add more capacity. What you can do? Buy one more server, right? Buy one more JBOD. Just connect to the storage pool. Immediately, Storage Space Direct will recognize whatever disk that belongs to that storage pool and harmonize it into the storage pool. That's Storage Space Direct, or our software-defined storage. We are the industry leader in this. Okay, I have to be very open with you on that. So, some guys ask, hey, Kwan, how can you deploy your storage space? We can do a few things here. That scenario is this. We call it converge. Where you build your storage space as a SAN, right? They connect to your Hyper-V host. But our Storage Space Direct also will be able to support on a hyper-converged role. So, which means your server can work as a storage plus compute plus network within a disk, within a physical hardware. So we are the only vendor that supports hyper-converged running on software-defined storage. Competition only does this. Okay? So that's the value of Storage Space Direct. Now, a quick overview demo on how can you manage storage space. I think probably Reng Kwan have shared with you doing PowerShell, I'm not too sure. Let me show you how do you do it in GUI. Okay? Now, as you can see from here, let me just close this and turn this off. Okay. As you can see from here, I have my, let me just share with you. This is my server. So what I did is, when I installed storage space, right? Let me just bring this back. I have this thing called file and storage services. And when I click on this, when I go over to my server, storage pool, okay, let me just go this. You notice there's something called primordial disk. What this means that this is native, raw, not yet joined to the pool. How easy for me to present a disk into a storage pool? Simple. You notice I got a lot of disk here. What I can do here is, I can create right-click, new storage pool. Remember, I want to cluster that storage, that different disk into a storage pool, right? Simple. Microsoft is famous for what? Wizard lah. You always click next, give it a name lah, S pool 2. Right? And you always click yes, 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 yes. Right? Even the agreement, all y'all don't read right. Yo, what y'all got scored into? Okay, the only thing you press no is what? Don't respond to Microsoft and don't get feedback right. That's the only thing you put no, right? Okay, let's click next. So I have the physical disk, right? I can choose 3, 2, you know, stuff like that. I click next. Now, this is where it creates the pool. Okay? Once I create this, within a minute or so, it will create a pool. Like any cooking show, I've done it before. So once that pool is ready, here you go, yada. So what you can actually do here is, you can actually create your service, your disk pool, right, into the different disk capabilities. Like, for example, if I want to create this virtual disk, or my storage pool, I can create a new virtual disk. Okay, what I can do, I can get from pool, okay, I can click next, right? Let's say I get VD2, let's say VD02, my disk, right? Now, remember this, we call this enclosure awareness. Oh, I'm a poor man, yeah, Microsoft is poor, right? I'm a poor man server guy, I only have one server. But remember you have three, right? If you have three, you can turn this on, enable enclosure awareness. Remember I told you about the enclosure goes down? You can seal fault tolerance, right? If you turn this on, then that will happen. So, let's go storage layout. Remember RAID, right? RAID. When you do Storage Space Direct, one requirement. Don't physically RAID your hard disk. Okay? Don't configure it. Let us do the RAID for you. Why? We want to do multiple disk, multiple enclosure, ma? So, simple is what?
No red law.
Mirror is what?
Red one law.
Priority is what?
Red five law.
Correct? So, obviously the red one will give you half a days, red five will n minus one, n plus one, right? N minus one. So just do provisioning. No risk. I can do simple. Sorry. Okay. My bad. Not enough space. Ah. Sorry. That's as much as I can go. Just to add to that demo just now, you can also do thin provisioning of your disk. What do you mean by thin? I can say this disk is 100 gig, but I only allocate the disk space as I use it. That's called thin provisioning. Okay? So that's a quick overview of Storage Space Direct, right? Simple. Juan doesn't do complex stuff, Juan. Juan is a simple guy. Now, how many minutes do I have? Okay, I got 18 minutes more. Okay? Security, I think probably Rong Kwan has shared with you security now, right? The shielded view and stuff like that. So how Microsoft does or treats 2016 treats security is this, yeah? We treat security into two different aspects. I think probably Bay will go into a deeper aspects on security later. But let me share with you this yet today. How many of you today shared domain admin password to your vendor? Please don't take up your hand. You all are. Why? When your vendor comes and have domain admin, local admin, right, what they do? They literally pose as a threat, right, to your organization, correct? So, but you don't give them local domain admin, they cannot do troubleshooting or, huh? So with Microsoft, we introduce this thing called just enough and just in time admin. So what just enough and just in time admin means? Let me give you a scenario. Your system need to do troubleshooting tomorrow. I have made an appointment with Bay. Bay is my vendor, ma. Bay, can you sign up, please? Thank you for cooperating. So, Bay, what I did is, Bay tomorrow coming in at, okay lah, Malaysian works, okay, Malaysian works at 8:30 a.m., very soon one. Okay, Bay comes at 8:30, right? Supposedly come at 8:30 lah. Say, Bay said, tomorrow 6 p.m., show counting one, before 6 can counting lah. Fine. So what I did, with just enough administration, what I give is, I give Bay a local admin credentials, a local admin authority on the server that he wants to troubleshoot. Nothing else. Not domain admin, huh? Because by default, Bay's password is a guest password only. Right? Then I say, Bay, you coming in tomorrow 8:30, ah? Fine. I said 8:30 to 7 p.m. That is where we call just-in-time admin. So what happened? Tomorrow, Bay come to my organization. He feels he's so hardworking. He come in at 8:28 a.m. because he's so good in Chinese. So he log in, boom. Oh, sorry, you are a guest user, you cannot do anything. So he has to wait until 8:30. Then he log in. I get the local admin rights. So Bay is doing troubleshooting, right? And after 7:01 p.m., what happened? Cannot read law. Because his authority has been revoked. Correct? So this is what we call just in time and just enough admin. So that you will be able to have more controls. Why? You don't know what your vendor is doing, ma. Correct? And whatever Bay is doing is actually locked into our security event, so you know what he's doing actually in the session. Now, we do cover something on shielded VMs, but let me just repeat that again. This is a big bad word in data center world. Who disagreed with me? Please take up your hand. Okay, everyone agrees with me. Because this leads to data leakage, data theft, right? So, what we've introduced is this called shielded VMs. Rong Kwan have shared with you guys, well, I shared with you guys what is shielded VM, right? Which literally encrypt and protect your entire virtual machine. Okay? So what happens is, when you create a shielded VMs, right? You need to have what we call a host guardian. Now, what, do we share host guardian just now? No, okay. So what happens is this. Imagine this. Your school, right? Got pengawas, right? Pengawas, right? When you want, Ketua Raja. When you want to go into the class, sit down, you have to ask Ketua Raja, I'm here, right? Stuff like that. When you go out, you have to ask Ketua Raja, right? So simple. Host guardian is like Ketua Raja in your classroom. When the VM wants to boot up, right? Here's the find. Where is my guardian service? If I cannot find the guardian service, I cannot boot up. What is this scenario for? Imagine I take the virtual administrator. Okay, scenario. I always like to do scenario. I am an administrator who just get a very nice big white envelope from my manager. You all know what's a big white envelope, right? Which means I'm not happy. So what I did, I know a particular VM is super crucial and has very nice data that I want to leak it out to a competition, which means I get more money, right? So what I did today, without Shielded VM, regardless of what hypervisor there is in the planet, I can admin ma, right? Copy the VM out. Coincidentally, my home also got one PC that is installed with the hypervisor, regardless what brand. I put the VM in. I run the VM. There's no stopping you from being able to steal whatever data in there, right? Like what Rongkon shared, right? So with Shielded VM, what happens is, the moment you boot the VM, he will try to find Ketua Raja lah, which is the host guardian service. Now, this host guardian service says, oh, you are a Shielded VM, right? Okay, good, you can boot up. Because you are running within an environment that I trusted. So, without that, the VM doesn't boot up. Make sense? Same thing, like what Renquan shared just now. I copy a virtual disk out using USB. I try to mount it, but that disk is encrypted. Without a guardian service to provide you the key to unlock that disk, you won't be able to open that disk at all. So that's Shielded VM. That's Shielded VM explained in a diagram. Okay? So I'm going to skip the demo because you've seen Shielded VM demo just now, right? So I'm going to skip this and go into the next section. Nano server. Like what I say is, embarrassingly saying, is opposite of me. It's lean, mean machine, right? So it is a small footprint of a headless OS that is only meant to run infrastructure-related workloads such as Hyper-V, storage space, cluster, some IIS. That's it. You're not going to run it as an application server. You're not going to run it as your AD. You're not going to run it as all the different application workloads like SQL Server database. You're not going to run that on a nano server because it is optimized to run those workloads on the cloud, on your private cloud. So let's see data sheets. Did we flash this now? No, right? So let's compare. You all know, okay, let me just, sorry, my bad. Let's do a bit hari ni dalam sejarah. You have Windows Server 203 UI version, 2.8 UI version, right? Then in 2.8, we created this thing called Server Core. The story of Server Core is, hey, let's create some server which is smaller than Windows Server lah. So Server Core is about 30% smaller than full server. Then we said, hey, you know what? Server Core is still not small enough. Let's run Nano Server, which is 30% of Server Core. So it's like 10% of this guy. So how do we compare? Now let's do a comparison between Nano and Server Core. In terms of drivers loaded, it's about 30% lesser, right? In terms of services running, it's about half. In terms of port to be open, it's about half. In terms of processors, about the same, but in terms of memory usage, is it 1/3, right? Now, what about setting up a nano server? To set up a nano server, it takes you only 40 seconds. Just to share with you, nano server are not meant to be troubleshoot. Nano server are meant to be delete and replace. In terms of this footprint, you are talking about a 400 meg this size. Your server running on 400 meg today, that is super small. So let's do nano server today. Let's do the quick nano server demo. Let me go up and connect to my. So probably Ravi has showed you nano server, right? Which is this guy. Now, this is the first time I do this demo in front of live audience. Let me see, hopefully it works. So I got my. Okay, this is Nano 02. Just to share with you, my Nano is currently running on a nested Hyper-V. You notice like this, right? Now let's connect to vNano. Let's connect to my Nano server, which is running on Hyper-V. Okay? So you notice actually I have a virtual machine running here, right? Now let's do this. Let's open up. My bad. Give a password. I hope it works. Okay. So it will run into my virtual machine. Normally, what I'll do here is, I'll do a notepad. Come up, please. Notepad. Okay. If this works, I am awesome. Okay? Oh, without the E. Just like Circle Show, huh? Okay? I'm gonna close this. So, let's go to Nano, which is this guy here. Okay, let's shut it down now. Let's shut it down and see how fast it boots up. Have you shown how fast it boots up Nano now? No, okay, let's shut down. Let's shut down the VM. Okay, I'm shutting the VM. While shutting the VM, let me drink. Oh, VM shut down here. Okay. So fast. Now is 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 5 seconds, is up, which is less than 15 seconds. How fast is your server building boot up today? 1 minute, fastest, 5 minutes, normal, right? So, let's look at Hyper-V Manager. Let me refresh the VM, okay? Just check, the VM is still running, okay? Without you shutting down, okay? So, that's what we can do with Nano Server today. Fast shutdown, bring it down, your VM is running, right? So, if you run this as a hypervisor in your organization, right? What's the downtime are you expecting when you get a power trip, like me today? Probably less than 15 seconds. Your VM is up and running. That's how fast Nano Server is with regards to that. Okay. Now, let's switch gears into a DevOps scenario. We talked about server virtualization, Hyper-V given. But the world, so what's happened, what's with server virtualization? You literally virtualize the hardware and put into virtual machines, right? With containers, we bring it down to another layer, okay? Now, in any OS, right, you have this thing called kernel process, correct? So what we do here is, instead of me needing to create different applications for virtual machines to run applications, why don't I run one kernel and have all those containers sit on top of that kernel? Let me give you an example. Today, I want to run two applications within the same server. Can I? Can. But your IIS has to do a lot of path, right? So can I run two applications in an isolated manner within the same virtual machine or same server? You can't. Because both of them share the same kernel, right? So what we do here is, with containers, you will still have one kernel, but you will create what we call a sandbox environment that wraps the entire application. So which means that you can create multiple applications sitting on top of the same host that is mutually exclusive. That is container. Now, Pakuan, what are the containers available in the market? So Microsoft provides two types of containers. One is Windows Server Container. which literally runs on a virtual machine running a Windows Server. But there's a challenge here. When you run Windows Server containers, right, everyone shares the same kernel, correct? Like what I say here, right? One kernel is shared. What if one application gets infected or gets attacked or gets compromised? It shares the kernel, right? It has the potential to jump over here, guys, correct? Which is why we have created Hyper-V containers. So with Hyper-V containers, what we'll do here is you have different kernels serving different containers without needing to provision a virtual machine at all. So that's the realization of containers, which means right now I can run my applications on top of the container layer without needing to run a virtual machine. Let me give you a demo to show you that. So this demo can be a bit geeky lah. I'll try my best to make it more layman. So if you can see from here, I have vNano01. Okay, vNano. If you can see, oh, okay, this Nano server, I'm a VM host, ma. Okay? No VM. No VM, yeah? So what I did earlier, I've previously connected to provision one container. And how does container looks like? Let me just show you. So now, container works on what we call Dockers. So I'm going to run a lot of Docker command. This is going to be a bit chaotic here. Let me just try. Okay, Docker, ps/all. So in here, oh, sorry, my bad. I have not connected to the environment. Let me just connect to my environment. Okay, ps-all. If you can see, right, I actually have a container calling app01. Now, how does it work, yeah? Let me just do a Docker command first. Okay, images. So what I can see from here is I have three images of IIS running on server call, a default server call, and a Nano server image. This is a VM image runtime, which I pulled from the internet down to my Nano server. So what I did now, what I'll be doing now is, let me do this. I'm going to run this. Okay. This Docker command, what it will do is, he will create a Hyper-V container called app02 that runs only IIS on a server call. But more importantly, it will do a port mapping of 8080 to port 80. Okay? Let me do this. Now, normally, a container will take about a minute. So what I've done here is, I've just triggered Nano server to create a container which runs IIS. I got 15 minutes more, base sponsoring me. Which runs a container that immediately provisioned to do to map port 8080 to 80 and run CMD on it. Okay? So that's what I'm gonna do. Now, if you see here, today, I do a port 8080, it should give me runtime error, all right? Because I haven't created anything, ma. It's still running there, right? Page display, cannot. Okay? So, while waiting for this guy to be up, let me just bring it back. You know what? I'm here. Am I right here? Yeah, I'm here. So what I do? Let's refresh this guy. What I've done, I've just provisioned an IIS, right? But what can I do to change it to my flag, right? So as usual, Microsoft demo will show what we call a Hello World demo, right? Let's do a Hello World demo. I will delete the default page of the IIS. Let me just copy this guy out. Copy and paste. Okay, and I will create a Hyper-V container. Okay, So what I've done is, I just added a HTML default page with Hyper-V container. So what does it mean? This means I've created a container which runs an IIS application with customized application code. And by the way, still no virtual machine. Today, you want to provision an IIS server in a virtual machine. How long does it take to provision? From VM template. 30 minutes, right? How long did I take to create a container? 1 minute, and I'm good to go. And I can stack multiple applications, multiple container running to it. For example, I have app 01. What I'm going to do here is, I'm going to do straight. Delete this. And I'm going to create what I've done earlier, app 01 is 80.280, correct? Correct? So, if I'm going to be able to do run this successfully, I should be able to do this. Two different containers, two different applications running within Nano Server without virtual machine. That's container. Okay? So, I'm going to end this session with what we call a hybrid management. Microsoft have launched Operations Management Suite, a hybrid cloud management that manages Azure and Hyper-V and in one single console. Okay? So what it can do, probably Nigel has shared, Ravi has shared, Raymond has shared, Law has shared, it literally can do a lot of things, from log analytics, collecting all those events from your systems, health state, security logs, putting it in a central repository, providing intelligence to learn from your environment, to know what is normal, what is abnormal. Once I know what is abnormal, I'll trigger an alert. That is log analytics. Automation, to be able to provide automation for you to automate your current processes, tasks, and activities which you run it on a manual basis. Providing HA and security in place. Now, let me just go out with a OMS demo. I probably have seen just now. Now, this is a quick set of OMS. You have seen SQL monitoring, you have seen SQL assessment, some more, security audit. Let's see, I can also monitor your on-premise network. I will be able to monitor your network devices, the network devices of an entire data center, of an entire network, within a single pane of glass, providing health and performance up to the pod layer and your link. From here, I'll be able to know, you know what? What are the issues that has detected? What are the latencies? And what are the ports? Health and performance. That is one. Sometimes, you also have issues with your DNS, DHCP, correct? How are you being able to monitor that? This probably was not covered. We will monitor all those DNS, DHCPs, or IP addresses within your organization, the health side of those, within a single pane of glass. Oopsie. Okay, like what are the domains queried? Who are the DNS clients trying to connect to your DNS servers? How are they doing? How are the DNS registrations going to be done? How are the DHCP requests? What are the DNS requests? What are the DNS latencies and whatsoever? This is done within OMS. Okay, I don't show Power BI here. So that's a key takeaway for OMS. Lord of the Ring. Okay? So, with that, probably I'm going to do a recap. This is available in Office 2016. We call it transition. With that, I probably want to recap. Windows Server is the foundation of your hybrid cloud journey. The capabilities are there. through software-defined compute, we talk about the capabilities, we talk about the SDN capabilities, we talk about storage capabilities. We provide you, we are the only technology company in the world that provides you a single cloud platform across private, public, and even hoster. Nobody else can do it. Another competition from A can only do public, another competition of V can only do private. Right? We are the only one can do both. Right? And all hail containers. Why? Containers should be changing your environment. Right? Don't run virtual machines. Run containers. It will optimize the resource utilization. Because why? Today, you still get vendors asking, I want to have 8 virtual CPU. I want to have 64 gig of RAM. But you only use 10%. Right? With containers, I don't care. Because why? Resource allocations are being done automatically by our container, right? So it's directly pumped in. You don't worry about that. Right? And management is important. Okay? With that, I end my session. Thank you for your time and hope to see you again next time.